Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. You can save big on your auto insurance. It's really the best thing you can do with your phone in a few minutes. Just call 1-888-FARMERS. That's 1-888-FARMERS and start saving today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Well, they didn't retire his jersey tonight, but James Harden's return to Houston has just gone final, and it was a very successful one. Tonight's a big night in the NBA. We have NBA records being set. We have the MVP of the first half planting his flag and saying, forget about all these other guys. I'm the real guy. But clearly, Mike Harmon, James Harden tonight showed back up in Houston. The day after Tillman Fertitta said, yeah, we're going to retire his jersey. He drops 29 and 14 assists. The Nets keep rolling, and all Rockets fans have to sit back and sit there and go, we don't have Harden. We don't have Watt. We don't have Hopkins. We're not going to have Watson at some point. And this guy, our owner, still going to retire that number. We got to watch Harden try. I mean, he played well all the way through. He didn't give up because he wanted out. We had to watch this tonight. This is a bitter pill to swallow for the Rockets fans in Harden's return again. 29 and 14 in a 132-114 victory. This is the kind of night it was for James Harden.
Harden now. Left wing, front court, three on the way. Good! James Harden with a three. He's got 27 and Houston needs a timeout.
Nets Radio Network, yeah, that could, I think that last phrase could go for the Rockets for the entire city of Houston for the last year. Houston needs a timeout. Houston, they need to talk, in the words of Marv Albert, they need to talk it over and not just in the NBA.
Yeah, it was everything you would expect. The Rockets showed some heart, though. I mean, because they could have just quit. They didn't. Battled. Yes, it's an 18-point defeat, but they got it back to 10 at one point. Everybody said, oh, no, here we go. They're going to choke it away. And the crowd, the couple thousand people that were there got excited. 29, 10 boards, 14 assists in the game. He did have 8 turnovers, but still a plus 17 on the night, 10 of 15 shooting. Look, in the end, he wanted out. So how bad do you feel? You don't. You just take your lumps. You know this is a lost season at this point. You maybe give him the too old to rock and roll, too young to die hand gesture. Ray Lomas, look it up on Twitter or the Google machine as you need to. I won't describe it in full detail. Maybe you give him one or two of those during the course of the game. But beyond that, you know, you just celebrate the 8 years that you had with him, all the highs. In the video montage, they should have shown a couple of lows. Here's where you were gassed and really couldn't compete in the fourth quarters. We don't miss that, do we, fans? No, we don't miss that. I mean, try to make it an antagonistic thing once you go down that, I guess. But then you just have to dust yourself off and move on.
No. You can move on later. It's time to still be antagonistic. The wounds are too fresh. Okay, if I'm in the WWE and I'm in the ring and I'm holding your hand up and, hey, this could be a new tag team, and then you hit me over the head with a chair that starts a big feud, I'm not suddenly just going to be your friend and help you the next time that happens. There's got to be some time's got to go by. I need to sit back. I need to be mad. I need to vent. I need to do these things. People remember how James Harden just quit and decided, hey, I'm going to better myself by quitting. I mean, that's the home Simpson philosophy. Better yourself by quitting. Hey, James Harden did it. No, I'm okay to be mad for a while if I'm the Rockets. I'm really okay to be mad at James Harden. And here's the other big thing. Okay, look, James Harden he had mixed reviews when he came back tonight. There were boos. There were some cheers. It was kind of Harden. Kind of like when I walk into a room, I get that. I get some, hey, and I get some,
Even in your own home.
Yeah, I get, yeah. Sometimes I get, hey, and sometimes I get, like, it depends. If I, like today, when I came back from running errands with two St. Patrick's Day shakes, from McDonald's. I got, hey, Dad came back with the shakes. Hey, if I had just came back from, if I just came back from errands or nothing, they would go, oh, okay. All right. That's what it was for me.
Well, I mean, there's the different levels of excitement. But by the way, they've also been stuck with you for a year. So really, you leaving the house for 8 minutes? Not really going to have a lot of excitement.
Yeah, but
that guy again.
But I am Mr. Excitement. I mean, I am Mr. Excitement. I mean, if you want to be trapped with me in quarantine because it's fun. I mean, I'm not one of those.
The
guys
fact that you use the term "trapped" tells me everything you need to know about the experience.
Hey, how's your day today in quarantine? That's nice. That's nice. Let's watch another television show. No, I am Mr. Excitement. I'm Mr. Fun. I am fun. I like that. Mr. Excitement. I'm going to nickname myself that. Although I think Ron Flockhart was Mr. Excitement back in the 90s for the Flyers. But I'm going to go with Mr. I kind of like
Mr.
Did he
Excitement. Trademark it? If not, let's see if MrExcitement.com is available.
Ooh, I think MrExcitement.com is probably something
different
than what we're talking
about.
Well,
it's owned by somebody, but it is not built.
Okay, it is. Okay, all right. It is owned
by. We can get it for $1,600.
It's owned by, it says Vivid something. Vivid. I don't know. Okay. But here's the other thing, right? Because we get to, you know, a bunch of big games tonight in the NBA. What do we say with the Brooklyn Nets sitting where they are? Their defense is terrible, right? And here are the Rockets. They're a terrible team. They put up 114, but take a look at what the starting backcourt did. John Wall and Victor Oladipo go for 36 and 33 apiece in this game. So clearly the Nets, while they're winning, look, the Nets are regular season good now. They're regular season tough. Are they playoff tough? That's the big thing that I don't know, that I can't say they are. They're regular season great. All right, they're regular season great, but are they playoff tough? I see nights like this where, hey, look, Wall and Oladipo are really good players, don't get me wrong, but this is not a star-studded team. You know, this team that loses 2 out of every 3 games, and when you're allowing the backcourt, when you allow teams to put up big numbers in defeat, this is what happens when the teams get better as the season goes on, and you're playing different teams in the playoffs. The Nets, they could just hit fast forward to the playoffs now. It doesn't matter. We're waiting for the conference semis and the conference final because that's when the Nets are going to get tested, and that's when we find out if they're for real. They're regular season for real now. Are they playoff real? Nobody can say that yet because this is how they play defense.
Well, I'm going to take this one with a grain of salt because, well, they were bludgeoning the Rockets for a good chunk of this game. So I take a little bit of this when it's an 18-20 point margin for most of the game as like, and it finishes at 18. You're trying to push away saying they didn't play any defense. Like, well, they still won by, you know, 3 touchdowns almost. And, you know, because I got to give the Texans some hope that there's some positivity. We got to cross over their sports as best we can to find a little bit of light.
Well, no, but look, know, everybody stinks. You got 6 good teams and everybody else is 500. I mean, everybody stinks.
But that's it. But it, like right now, when you get down to it, you look at the Nets, and we've talked about the Eastern Conference, and even the teams that are up there with them as the best of the conference, do you have great confidence that they're going to finish as strongly as they played to this point? I mean, you look at Embiid and Ben Simmons. Has it ever worked for a full season? Right, we haven't had an injury scare yet. We haven't had any big shakeups or terrible weeks or months. And maybe they've finally grown, and this is it, and this is where it changes, right? Embiid hits the big shot today to extend the game and everything else. There are these monster moments and breakthrough moments, and maybe we're in the midst of seeing one, but we haven't seen it historically. With the Nets, there's still a lot of activity, or at least some activity to come in terms of player buyouts and trades. We talked to Kurt Heelan last night. He wasn't bullish that we're going to see a ton of moves. Why? Because everybody's near to 500. But if I still, knowing I don't have Kevin Durant and I can still put up 132, I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling like things will work themselves out. I have far more confidence of them coming together than banking on the fact that the Clippers will. How's that? On the other side of the bracket.
No, I get it. No, you're good, man. But there's 6 teams. There's 6 teams. Everybody else is the Knicks. You got six teams and
everybody else
is the Knicks.
Wow.
That's what it is, man. Everybody
else
is the
Knicks. You got 10 minutes in, and now it's got to be the Knicks.
Everybody's a Knicks. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Now, one of the other big games that just finished tonight, you talk about NBA Finals preview. You're saying, wait a minute, NBA Finals preview? The Lakers didn't play tonight. Who are the Clippers playing? No, NBA Finals potential preview tonight. And boy, was it a fun one in overtime. And the 76ers pull out the win thanks to Joel Embiid and his 40 points.
Tobias Harris to Embiid. Embiid is pushed by Bogdanovich 9 seconds ago. Dribbles beyond the arc, fakes a three, shoots a three. It's up and good. 5.9 to go. Embiid is tied it at 118.
There it is, Sixers Radio Network. Embiid ties the game, part of his 40-point, 19-rebound night. And it is clear right now, and I can't be more clearer than this, and I don't even know that there's a way to dispute this right now. We're getting to the halfway point of the NBA. The next few nights, we're going to talk about all different things at the halfway point. Here's the NBA All-Star break is coming. Everybody finishes up tomorrow night. They finish the first half. The MVP in the NBA right now is Joel Embiid. And there's nobody else that's close. Joel Embiid has withstood all the challengers because he has been great from the opening game to now, right? LeBron James had a nice run, and then he took a dovetail. And James Harden had a really rough beginning, and he's been great the last month. But nobody's been better from the beginning of the season till now besides Joel Embiid. I mean, nobody has been this good. He has taken this year and the jump that we thought we would get from him at some point. Because, you know, you look back and Shaquille O'Neal really, when we think about this, it's something that's become a thing to compare it to now. Is that, look, Shaq got halfway through his career, right? He was having fun making movies and making songs. He was Kazam and he's on TV shows, man. And then he decides, well, you know what? I really got to start winning at some point. So, you know, I got to get out of Orlando. I got to get to the Lakers. He gets the Lakers. He wins three championships. He wins a fourth with the Heat. And now the Mercer legacy is secure. The Shaquille O'Neal legacy is secure. He got to that point where he knew, I need to start winning. I have to get more serious about my career. Joel Embiid, the exact same thing has happened, right? He's always been a terrific player, but him and Ben Simmons have been having fun the last few years. But when they're a nice 50-win team year after year, and they lose in the second round of the playoffs at best, and they go home, and that's kind of what it is. And you are waiting, and I was waiting for Embiid to take this next step because he is that dominant. And this year, he has done it. I mean, he has played with a new sense of, now I know what my legacy needs to be, right? The guy's 30-12, you know, this season. He is having a fantastic year, and it was something that happened right from the beginning. I got to give Doc Rivers a lot of credit because he got it out of him. And look, the first couple of years with Doc Rivers, we've said this many times, have always been the best years in Doc Rivers' year as being a head coach. It's the later years are struggling. But Embiid tonight is showing you, putting the exclamation point on the first half going, I am the MVP in this league, and really, there's nobody else. Look, Steph Curry had a nice week and a half run of, oh, he's scoring 35 a game. No, Joel Embiid's the MVP.
Yeah, no, he's been amazing all the way through. I mean, another 40-19 night tonight in overtime. We're going to have to effort the sound. Donovan Mitchell going off on officials as he was ejected, much like Devin Booker was last night. I don't know, giving them early exits to the halftime break here of the season and the All-Star break. I'm not quite sure what the push is, but for Joel Embiid, as you said, it's been years in the waiting, right? This is already year five, which is amazing how time flies. By far, his point per game production is up, rebounds on par with his career average. His best was in 2018-2019, where he averaged 13.6. He's at 11.3. Free throw percentage is at a career best. One of those guys that four straight years you're seeing an increase in that aptitude in that, and his field goal percentage a career high, like everything just breaking through. And we know you're always looking for a new narrative. So the big thing is for the Sixers, he's got to stay healthy, quite obviously, but they need to keep atop the Eastern Conference. And I think he breaks through, right? Likeable guy, pretty good with the media. Remember him shagging fly balls at the All-Star game for Major League Baseball. I mean, that was just unfair. Those big mitts going out and catching catching baseballs, and everybody's just got to get out of the way. But he's the guy that's the new kid on the block, as it were, even in year five. You know, when we talk about all of these stars and what they've done, Harden's a fun story. How many guys are going to hold his wanting out of Houston against him? Right? Because that's the other factor. Right,
right.
From a stats perspective, it may be great.
But
the personality thing may hit him there. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's human nature. And humans are voting on it, which means, all right, positivity. Where's the positivity? If they win it, that's great. But you have to vote before that's decided. As for Joel Embiid, you know, Sixers trying to make some noise, which means we would get more video of Moses Malone and maybe some more Allen Iverson appreciation. So I'm all good with that.
And we didn't even get a chance to get to the fact that Donovan Mitchell gets tossed in overtime, another ridiculous ejection on the heels of the Devin Booker one from a night ago. But that's okay. We got Rick Bucher stopping by with us coming up next. All the latest. Who's his MVP for the first half? Who's his coach of the year for the first half? There's only one choice. All the big NBA news and reaction you need. A big night tonight. Keep it right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, you are listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Joining us now on the hotline, will he agree or disagree with my NBA MVP call for the first half? It is Fox Sports 1 insider extraordinaire Rick Bucher. You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Bucher. Rick, what's happening, man?
I've been busy tonight. We've had a lot of games of interest to me. They haven't all been exciting, but they've been revealing. So let's have at it.
All right, so first, and don't worry, I'm not going to give you a Knicks thing first. You're not going to say Julius Randle.
No, but there will be a Knicks thing. There will be a Knicks thing.
There has to be.
I can feel it in the air. I also know that even if there isn't a Knicks thing, there will be a Knicks thing on this show.
All right, first things first. Like you said, a huge night tonight in the NBA. We watch Philadelphia beat Utah in overtime. They win at 131-123. Obviously, the Donovan Mitchell ejection we'll get to in a second. But Joel Embiid ties the game late in the fourth quarter in the final seconds. He goes for 40-19. I'm telling you, Rick, we talk a lot about MVP so far. There's nobody who's been more consistent from the beginning of the year to where we are now than Embiid. LeBron had his moment, and then he kind of dovetailed. James Harden was lost. Now he's been playing well for a month. I really can't see there being anybody else but Embiid for MVP right now.
Yeah, Harden has been consistent since he's gotten to Brooklyn. He certainly wasn't everything. He was at the very start with Houston and then had his down period. I don't have a problem with Embiid being the MVP for the first half of the season. They certainly have the record for it. He has been a factor at both ends. He's also a reflection of, like, you know, people say the big man is back. I'd say the three-point shooting big man is back. If you can't hit threes, then you're a liability no matter what position that you play. But with Embiid and Nikola Jokic in Denver, Both of those guys are capable of that, and I believe that Embiid. You saw it against Gobert. There is a physicality, and there is a grit to Embiid that those two other bigs, Gobert and Jokic, do not have, and it makes him dangerous. They won the game because of Tobias Harris and the weakness that I see in the Utah Jazz that I believe will be exposed in the postseason. Which is why I'm not really buying them as a legit title contender. They were able to go at Bogdanovich with Tobias Harris. You got plenty of wings, quality wings in the Western Conference that teams are going to be able to do the same thing in crunch time. And that's the that's the Achilles heel between Joe Ingles and Bogdanovich. There's always going to be somebody that they can attack. And that's exactly what Philly did. I was interested in this game just because I thought it's the two teams that not only have big men, but they play big. And I wanted to see who was the best between them. Philadelphia demonstrated clearly, even though the game went to overtime, that they are the better big man team.
Other MVP candidate, you mentioned James Harden and how well he's played. How much does the human factor play in of, hey, he forced his way out of here and reflects negatively in terms of MVP voting? But I thought that they should have just put the jersey up in the rafters tonight with the tribute video and everything else. Just get it out of the way and put all of the bad juju, just push it out right now. And it's gone.
Yeah,
and it just goes straight to James Harden today.
I'm not there, although I get I don't know, because not having fans in the stands and doing it now, okay, maybe. But I think as soon as you had fans in the stands, there'd be somebody there with a BB gun shooting that thing down. It's too close. I think the feelings for Rockets fans is still too raw. You don't have to go to immediately, he was so great, because he was, and he had a great run with the Rockets. But I just don't believe that Rockets fans have forgotten how he forced his way out. And whether it's a video tribute, okay. And the video tribute was really an effort, because they showed some of his humanitarian stuff in Houston. I thought it was a real effort to remind people, like, James Harden is a person too, he's a good person. I never doubted that. But look, he turned his back on the organization. And I fault the organization in part because he told him during the summer, I don't want to be here. And they dragged their feet, and finally he acted out in order to make it happen. But he still could have been more professional about it. I don't have a problem with recognizing him. I don't have a problem with acknowledging him. I don't have a problem with retiring his number. I just don't know that you do it right away and you immediately. You are far more forgiving than I am. I would have waited. I would have let this settle a little bit. And then come back to it.
Well, I'll tell you this, though, Rick. The reason I also want it done, because if he wins the title and then he's got to come back.
Yeah,
by the way,
yeah.
He forced his way out, won a title. He was near and dear to your hearts once upon a time. Please welcome the new champion.
that's fair. If he wins the title, I mean, if he wins the title, then maybe Tillman takes it back and goes, you know, on second thought, you got what you needed. You didn't put that banner up in here. We're not going to put your number up there either. Which frankly, how good would that be?
Oh, yeah.
How good would that be? He gets his ring finally. He wins it for the Nets, and the Rockets go, yeah, on second thought, we thought you were going to bring that here. And since you demonstrated that you could do it, but you didn't do it here, let's ixnay on the uniform attirement, Ray. I love that idea that if he gets it, and look, there's not going to be any time where people aren't going to feel sore about it. It's the same with, you know, KD leaving Golden State, and for God's sake, he brought them two rings, and people were still upset that he bailed. So, I mean, I think that happens. I don't know. You know, this is months after he basically said, to everyone in Houston, I love you, but you're just not good enough to get me where I want to go. And here's the other thing: if I'm an owner, and you're trying to avoid stars working their way out of organizations, and you want to take back some of that empowerment, the immediate forgiveness for doing what he did really doesn't dissuade anybody from doing it. It's like, yeah, I got my way. I acted badly. Oh, and you're still going to retire my jersey, and you're still going to do a video tribute. What exactly did I lose by behaving badly?
True. Rick Bucher with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. All right, now I'm with you on Harden, Rick. Now let's see where you are on this. And we mentioned it, we kind of came back to it here for a second. In the Embiid game, you know, he had a huge game. Donovan Mitchell gets thrown out in overtime with a technical. We watched Devin Booker get thrown out of the game last night for reasons passing understanding. You know, where are you on these big calls the last couple nights? Because I'll tell you what, Adam Silver's inbox is full from complaints about what's been going on.
It's not just the last couple of nights. For me, it's been the officiating all year long, and it's made it impossible. I look at the three-point shots that are being rewarded for fouls when you have shooters that are throwing themselves into the defender. It's made it impossible to defend. And without the training camp and a variety of reasons, the defense hasn't been good anyway. But the officiating has only made it far, far more difficult. And I don't blame the officials because essentially they're doing what the league wants them to do. I don't know where and when they became so frightened of physicality or that they are trying to make basketball a non-contact sport. But it is a contact sport. There is physicality in it. And it just makes it hard to watch. And seeing key players tossed for what seems to be, like when you're watching it, some of this obviously is because we don't have fans in the stands and we don't have the broadcasters in the stands. And so when somebody gets tossed and you got to figure out, okay, so why did that guy get tossed? Because we can't demonstrably see it, then it raises a question about the validity of the guy being officiated. Normally, you know, it's obvious, and I am struggling with it, but I've struggled with it all year long. I do not think the product is very good right now, and the way the league is approaching, we're not going to allow any contact, we're not going to allow any motion, we're not going to allow any reaction. Look, that has been an important part of the fiber of the NBA and basketball forever. And when you legislate that out, I think that it really affects the integrity of the game, and it certainly affects the entertainment value.
All right, one that the players aren't excited to go, but here we are, All-Star Weekend. Other than the rest, what are you looking for to get a win out of this weekend?
Oh my goodness! That nobody gets hurt, and that we see some sort of competition. But I mean, I'm interested to see the 3-point shooting contest, Devin Booker versus Steph Curry. I'm interested in Anthony Simons from Portland. Can he win the dunk contest? And kind of put his name out there because I think he's a really special player that people don't really know about. And that is probably about it. The selection of the teams and where that goes might provide a little fodder. But beyond that, I mean, that's kind of it. The only reason that they're having the All-Star game is because it's tied into a lot of corporate packages. And so they have to maintain that for the integrity of those packages. But beyond that, I just, you know, having the dunk contest at halftime of the game, they are just trying to squeeze this thing in somehow, some way. And look, I just hope we get to Monday and nobody's suffered any serious injury.
Well, see, I thought you were going to kind of jump the fence when they say, what are you most looking forward to the All-Star break weekend? And you were going to say, no, forget about that. Tomorrow night, the Knicks could finish the first half over 500. I thought that's where you were going to go with that.
Well, actually, I am remiss. What I am looking forward to is seeing Julius Randle win All-Star MVP. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, you're my favorite. I'm tweeting that out right now from Rick Bucher. Julius for MVP. Hashtag Julius for MVP. You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher. Rick, as always, buddy, appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we will talk to you next week, my friend. Have fun.
My pleasure.
See you, Rick.
Great stuff. Great stuff from Rick Bucher. And look, he's been talking about how bad the NBA product is now for a while and how bad it is this season. And clearly, when the and he hit it right on the head. When did the referees get so sensitive? When did they suddenly become, hey, we can't call anything physical, the players are going to react, and now we're not even going to let you react, and we're going to throw you out? Almost as if the referees, you know, had a meeting and said, hey, when there's no fans there, people can hear the players saying stuff to us, we want to be able to throw them out. Because I'm not going to sit there and have a guy, you know, a blank blankety blank me all the way through. No. And of course, the NBA said, oh, yeah, we'll cut down on that. I get it. But that's part of the game, right? Guys yell stuff on the court all the time because you can hear stuff now and become something that's reported. Oh, you know what so-and-so said to the referee? I mean, really, it's just crazy that this is where the NBA is. We had the two big ejections, Donovan Mitchell tonight and Devin Booker last night, that you look around and go, if a guy's getting thrown out, it's got to be obvious. Right, if a guy is making his case to the referee, but he's not embarrassing the referee, and he's not saying it to his face, making it look like, hey, I'm trying to dominate you. You got to let that go. When someone gets tossed, it's got to be obvious, and clearly the referees are failing at that.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those circumstances where there was probably a meeting before the season about how this was going to be televised, what was going to get picked up on a live mic. You've had some arenas, because you've had a live crowd, it's been easier to cover some of the stuff up because you're getting a full reaction. Particularly, I mean, you know how people get as soon as there's a little bit of an altercation, everybody's and start screaming like an idiot. So you might be able to mask that a bit. Maybe for the second half of the year, they have to go to some other way of providing sounds of the game if this is the end we're getting out of this, because human nature takes over. I get it, you get salty, but if part of the charge of the referees is to keep the squawking to a minimum just because a potential vulgar comment gets out, I mean, that's just screwing up the game. And we watched it two nights in a row. Two of the guys that we're talking about in the MVP conversation get tossed seemingly because they felt like it. An aggressive bouncing of the ball. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Don't bounce that ball to me. You bounce that ball to me.
Put too much mustard on it, man.
Twitter @ how about a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Call 1-888-FARMERS to save a bit of something on auto insurance. Coming up, we got more NBA on the way, but coming up next, a big update in the Tiger Woods story. We got it for you next. I'm Jason, he's Mike. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Just making sure it was bleeped. Just making sure you had a bleep version there, tight shirt.
We would have both found out real fast.
I was like, should I start talking? And in case it's not, No. I got it. We got.
I love
sure.
that you live dangerous.
We got to make sure. That's me. I ride the edge of the envelope.
Living on the edge, baby.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. We'll have more on the NBA and a big story out of the NFL coming up next, because the NFL offseason, when it comes to quarterbacks, just changed in a big way today. But if you remember last week, when we were on the reaction part of the Tiger Woods car accident, I was very stunned that initially the sheriff of Los Angeles decided to clear Tiger Woods of wrongdoing. Alex Villanueva said that, hey, there's no crime going on. Tiger Woods wasn't under the influence of anything. He took a test there. Maybe he was speeding. I don't know, but there's going to be no charges. There's no evidence of anything. And we raised our hand and said, that's kind of not how it's done. I mean, I get it, but that's kind of not how it's done. And it was really weird that suddenly he gets cleared when there's been no investigation. And it's about doing due diligence. And we use the words due diligence. When you're a police officer and there's an accident like that, you have to do your due diligence and figure out why that accident happened. Was it something the driver did illegally? Did they check their, were they on their phone? Were they speeding? All these things could happen. You can't just tell me because you showed up at the scene and hey, everything seemed okay. Because what I thought that Alex Villanueva did was he just decided, I'm going to be the guy to stand up and protect Tiger Woods, right? This is a really scary story, and it was scary for a lot of people, and it took over for a while, and I'm going to be the guy to stand up and protect him and say, everything is fine. I'm protecting Tiger Woods. When, really, that's not your job. If Tiger Woods is innocent, we'll find out. If Tiger Woods didn't do anything wrong, we'll find out. And then today, things changed as the deputy of the L.A. Sheriff's County. John Schlegel said, hey, we're trying to determine if a crime was committed. They're getting data from the black box in the SUV that's going to tell them what the vehicle was doing at the time, how fast it was going. And now they are investigating this situation. And I've said from the beginning, I don't want to see Tiger Woods put in jail. I'm not saying I want, oh, let's get even with Tiger Woods. No, but this is just kind of how it has to be. And they even use the words, hey, it's due diligence. And you know there must have been some kind of power struggle, because here's the L.A. County sheriff who said no charges, and now a week later it's, yeah, the deputy is saying we're looking into charges. So you know there's some kind of internal politics going on in the L.A. County Sheriff's Department when it comes to Tiger Woods. But and now this seems like a more normal reaction. Okay, now they're looking into it to see just what went on with Tiger Woods, which is what you would expect. And that's all I wanted was I expected the L.A. Sheriff's Department to look into it exactly how they're saying. We don't know what's going on. Maybe everything is fine. There's nothing that's going to be a felony. If it's anything, it's probably a misdemeanor. But we have to look into things like texting and driving, speeding around a curve, because that's kind of what we do as a police force. So I am glad today to see this reversal from the LA County Sheriff's Department, even though it embarrassed Villanueva last week. But hey, you know what? He shouldn't have said what he said at that point. He should have waited.
Well, you react in the moment, and maybe calmer heads prevail, more discussion, more just evidence of what's going on. Tiger Woods, you know, saying he doesn't remember driving. Okay, so that's a whole other raise your hand. And look, all I know about policing is my dad was one, and he didn't talk about it. We didn't get into deep dives. We got some crazy stories of people that would call 911 because they were lonely. And some of the stuff they would start asking about, almost as if they were the movie line guy getting ready to read them movie showings for the day. Can you tell me the scores and things of that, just because they were bored and needed someone to talk to? So that was part of it, in addition to all the serious stuff. We were kind of shielded from that. Everything else I learned on Law and Order and the variations thereof. So I'm not claiming to really know a ton, but I'm just asking. We asked the questions, threw a bunch of it out. You know, black box on cars evidently have been there a while. You know, we always talk about them when it comes to planes or larger things like a train derailment or something. But, You know, talking about speed, braking data, velocity, steering input, the rates, the seatbelt status, and all these other things, airbag deployment and when and how and all sorts of other pieces of data. And I think part of it stems from a discussion of that area that really spawned out of this. Not that it's not a local concern, but this became an international, hey, you know what? It's known for going with a downgrade that gets you from 45 to 80 really fast. To which a lot of people responded, then why aren't there, you know, traffic signals or stop signs or whatever to try to stop the and slow the flow over there? So maybe it spawns out of that as well, civic duty for research purposes. But certainly we haven't heard the end of this.
No, it probably should come in the next few days. And there's been no other comment from the sheriff's department outside of this from the sheriff deputy earlier today. But look, this is kind of how it's supposed to be done. And it more seems like Villanueva was just trying to protect Tiger Woods when he came out with that last week. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Oh, boy. NFL offseason just changed in a big way. That's next. Fox.